You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Rose Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Praise God. We serve a mighty God, don't we? We serve an awesome God. We serve a loving God. We serve a God of joy. Hallelujah. God loves us. He's for us. He's not against us. I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited to be able to stand up here. Seems like it's been forever. A long time. But you ready to get in the Word?
Amen.
Amen. Turn your Bibles with me to Psalms 27. Psalm 20. I want to talk to you a little bit today about faith, believing and receiving. You know, we're going through a battle right now. We're going through a test, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. Maybe till afterwards. I may even not tell you. I don't know. I'm having to decide about that. But I know this, that my God is going to see us through. My God is going to come through for me. I've seen it happen time and time and time again. And my God is not a respecter of persons. If he can do it for one person, he can do it for me. If he can do it for somebody in the Bible, he can do it for me. I love Mike's testimony. Well, that just encouraged me because we're going through some almost impossible situations, and I believe that all things are possible to him who believes. And so we got our faith out there, and I may tell you later, but I don't want you to doubt, though. I don't want you to come up to me and go, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. No, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear you. I want to hook your faith up and say, I agree with you. I believe. So can you do that for me? Because I know when I tell you, some of you are going to go, oh. See, because you know your faith is not out there. But don't come to me, and I'm just telling you ahead of time, because I don't want doubt and unbelief. Don't come to me and tell me anything unless if you're negative, okay? I'm just telling you because I don't want to hear it. Hallelujah. Psalms 27:13. Let me get there. I love God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Psalms 27, verse 13 says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed. Say believed.
Believe.
That I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wow. You know, really, that's what it really boils down to, is what do you believe? You know, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you're headed. I don't know what your past is like. But it all boils down to what do you believe? What can you believe God for? What are you needing to believe God for? And, you know, you need to really get this. God doesn't move off your need. You know, Jesus, in the Bible, Jesus passed by blind Bartimaeus. Passed him. He was blind. He just passed right by him. He doesn't move off your need. He moves off in response to faith. He responds to believing, people that are believing. And every time that you believe and every time that you respond in faith, he stops. He always followed. You see, we're going to read some of these accounts because I think it's just amazing. Some of the people, how they received a miracle, how they received from God. They would not be denied. They did not consider the circumstances. What, Hebrews chapter 4, where Abraham... He didn't consider the circumstances. He didn't waver. He just stood on what God said. And that's really all God's asking us to do, is stand on what he said.
Amen.
Don't be denied. Don't look at the circumstances. Guys, listen, the circumstances are staring me right in the face. Fear is just pressing in all over me concerning the thing we're going through. But I tell you, I've seen God come through for me before. And if he done it once, he'll do it again. I know my God. And so it's pretty tough because the fear and the thoughts are just flooding in like a flood, just coming in. But I'm telling you, just got to keep stirred up. Keep yourself in the Word. Keep yourself thinking about the past victories that God has done for me. And we're going to see a miracle. We need a miracle. A miracle from God.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen because I'm believing God.
Amen.
So Psalms 119. I'm going through a lot of scripture. Not really. I've got to lay a little foundation, but I got to go pretty quick, swift. So to get to the point where I want to get. Psalms 119, verse 92. I love that because that verse that we read, Psalms 27, said, unless I had believed, unless. See, do you believe? Will you believe? Will you choose to believe? Unless. There's a choice there. You know, I love it. Choose life today whom you have served. Choose life or death is in the power of the tongue. What will you say? What will you believe? Psalms 119, verse 92 says this. Let me get there. It says, unless your law had been my delight. There's the word unless. Your law had been my delight, I would have then perished in my affliction. I'd have perished in my trouble. I'd have perished in the thing that's coming against me. Unless your law had been my delight. Unless your law had been in me, I would have perished. I would have died. I would have given up. That's exactly what the message says. If your revelation, now listen to me. Guys, we need a revelation of who God is. We don't need information. I think for the most part, we've got too much information. We know too much. We think we know too much. We need a revelation. You know, we don't need to read from Genesis to Revelation. We need to read a scripture and grab a hold of it. You know, if it's healing, you need healing, grab a hold of that scripture and you get it so deep and rooted inside you that when that thing comes up, any kind of sickness comes up, bam, it comes out. It just overflows out of you. It's not something, well, what am I going to do now? No, you know what you're going to do. You're going to stand on the Word of God. His Word is forever settled in heaven. Glory to God. We need to grab a hold of that. Grab a hold of it. So we don't need revelation. We don't need information. We need revelation. A revelation of the Word of God. Of who God is and what He will do for us. The message, let me finish that. It says, if your revelation hadn't delighted me so, then I would have given up when the hard times came. Ooh, that's pretty strong. What will you do when the hard times come? Will you cave in? Will you give up? I think there's a scripture, I hesitate to even go there because I don't know exactly what it says verbatim, but it's in Psalms. It says something about how it's a tragedy for the righteous to give up or to falter when hard times come, because God has done so much for us. God has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness. He's given us His power, His authority, His anointing. He's given that to us. So God forbid that we would cave in, we would give up, we would let the enemy overtake us and come against us and us just falter and give up. Glory to God. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in this world. We can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. We've got such a power inside of us. It needs to be unleashed. It needs to be given. It needs to be let just rise up within us. Oh, let faith arise and His enemies be scattered. Our enemies be scattered. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Then Psalms 94, one more. It has to do with this. Believing. Psalms 94, verse 17, it says, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would have soon settled in silence. I remember when Pastor taught on this a while back, it stuck with me. It just hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, yes, that is so good. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would have settled in silence. I would have given up. I would have quit. Unless the Lord had been my help. You know, Psalms 121 says, I look to the hills from which cometh my help. I look to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Hallelujah. My help comes from the Lord. He's my help. We don't need to try to do it on our own ability, our own thinking, our own understanding. It has to come from the Word and trusting God and believing God that He'll do exactly what He said He'll do. That is what we have to get to that point where I just believe God. You know, in Acts chapter 4, actually 27, 25, Paul said when they were actually sailing, you know, the shipwreck, before the shipwreck, and he told those men, because God spoke to him and told them they're all we're going to live. And he said, I believe God. I believe that it'll be just as God told me. So in my situation, I believe God. Amen. It'll be just as God said it would be in His Word. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to lay a little foundation on faith, because that's how many of you know that if you're going to receive anything from God, it's got to be by faith. Amen. By faith. So let's just go through this. Hebrews 11:1. These are scriptures you know, very familiar. Hebrews 11:1. What is faith? What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So, guys, listen to me. Whatever you're hoping for, you're going to have to believe it by faith. You're going to have to believe it. You don't have to see it. It doesn't. I don't see it. All the reports are bad. They're negative. But I don't see that. I hear what they're saying, but I believe I see a miracle. I see that. You know how many? I don't want to tell you. Hallelujah. I'll wait. Ooh, I just want to tell you now, because I believe my God. I believe He's, there's going to be an awesome, awesome miracle take place. They amplify, let me read Hebrews 11:1. But we know that faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's what we're believing for. It's what we're hoping for. And we don't have to see it. It's the things that are not. See, if you can see it, it's not faith. If you can accomplish it, it's not faith. If you can do it on your own ability, and you can do it, it's not faith. I tell you what, don't go there. We'll go to the next. I got to go a little bit faster. So faith, guys, is simply just total dependence upon God. You know, I heard Carmen say, have you ever heard that? He's got a song. I don't know, it's just the phrase, the part of it I remember. He says, faith is stepping out on nothing but finding something there. You know, people wonder, well, what are you doing? You know, that's not going to work. See, to them, it doesn't look like it's going to work. To them, it doesn't seem that it's not practical. It doesn't make sense. What are you doing that for? What are you believing that for? I mean, don't you hear what they're telling you? Don't you hear what all man's wisdom is telling you? And that's what 1 Corinthians 2:5 says. My wisdom or my faith is not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. Faith does not depend on man's wisdom. Ain't you glad?
Amen.
Praise God. Listen to me, guys. You may go through some battles. And you know, this is probably the biggest battle I've ever been through in my entire life. It really is. It's a test. Not God's testing me, but it's a test of faith. It's a test of what will I do? What will I believe? And I love it. I love it because I'm going to see God. I keep wanting to tell you. Okay. Romans 14:23. Whatever is not from faith is sin. Whatever is not from faith is sin. So if you're doing something and it's not from faith, it's sin. You need to go back to the drawing board. You need to get back in faith. Find out what it is that you need to do. You know, Habakkuk 2:4 says that. That was a joke, but you didn't laugh. Never mind. Have a hiccup? Okay. Habakkuk, because that's what I usually say when I say that. Have a hiccup. 2:4 says, the just shall live by his faith. We live by his faith. Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. Another translation says, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. Galatians 2:20 says, what is it? Galatians 2:20. Ah! Just went blank. I live by faith, Son of God. Okay. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it's Christ who lives in me. And this life that I now live in this flesh, I now live by the faith in the Son of God who died and he gave himself for me, who loved me and gave himself for me. We live by the faith of God, faith in God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. How many of you know that without faith, it's impossible to please God? Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God rewards people who are diligently seek him, who will not be denied, who have faith in God, trust in God. That's what God rewards. He rewards faith, or he rewards your diligence in seeking him and trusting him. And he loves. And that's what pleases him. So if you want to please God, you're going to have faith. Matter of fact, I don't see how people in this world make it without faith, trusting God. Wow. All the pressures of life crowding in. But we have faith. Glory to God. We have something that will help us. Romans 12:3 says that God is, listen to me, don't you ever say, I heard people say this, well, I don't have any faith. Don't ever say that. Don't ever say you don't have faith. Romans 12:3 says that God has dealt to each man a measure of faith. So you have faith. So don't ever say you don't have faith. Now, you can build your faith. You need to develop your faith. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you need to develop your faith, but you have faith. God has given to each man, dealt to each man, a measure of faith. So you've got faith. Say, I've got faith.
I've got faith.
Now, do you know that Jesus talked about little faith? No faith, little faith, great faith. There's different levels of faith. All right. So we need to develop that. We want great faith. We want to get to that point where God will say to us, you got great faith. Great faith. That is totally, that great faith is where you just not denied. You just seek after God. Just like that woman with the issue of blood, she reached out and touched that hem of that garment. She had great faith because she said, if I will just touch the hem of that, if I could just touch the hem of that garment, he might heal me. No, she didn't say that. Well, I'll try it and give it a run, see what happens. No, she would not be denied. She said, I will. God is looking for some I will people.
Amen.
All right? I will receive from God. I will get my miracle. I will see God's glory in this thing. God is looking for that. Because then you're certain. That's what in Hebrews 4 talks about how Abraham was fully convinced. Fully convinced that God would perform that which he said. Let me ask you something. What are you believing right now? Are you fully convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is going to come through for you?
Yes.
Fully convinced. I love that. Fully convinced. Nothing. You know, Paul said, none of these things move me. He was going through a lot of stuff. He said, none of these things move me. Circumstances don't move me. Nothing moves me except my God. I mean, I'm in position. I believe God. And he didn't look at the circumstances. He didn't look at what was going on. He didn't look at, you know, the waves crashing in up against him. He just said, I believe God. That's what we need to do that.
Amen.
Just believe. Simple trust in what God said. James 1:22 says, you know, we need to hear the word. Romans 10:17, right? We need to hear the word. But, you know, we need to be doers of the word. So there's, you know, there's a lot of people that come to church and they just hear. And the Bible has warns you about that. Just hearing only. Deceiving yourselves. So faith, you know, we need faith. We need to hear. And faith comes by hearing by the word of God. But we don't just need to be pew sitters and just hearers and just only hear the word. Because if we do that, we're just deceiving ourselves. Why? Because our life's not changing. Our life's not changing. And the Bible says, well, and then that sounds kind of funny because how can you actually come and hear the word and not build faith? Well, that's what the Bible, Hebrews chapter 3, going into chapter 4, talks about. How it basically says that they did not mix it with faith. And what they heard. They didn't mix the word with faith. So you got to mix the word with faith. So when you come, yes, you need to hear the word, but you need to be doers of that word, not deceiving yourselves, and you need to mix it with faith. Glory to God. You need to believe what you're hearing. Take it. I mean, I love people who take notes. I love people who are writing stuff down because that tells me they're, you know, it's a fact that you just, I can't remember the exact percentages and stuff, but it's true. You know, you when you're just coming to you or hear anything, a presentation or whatever, and it's, you know, an hour long, you only receive just small amounts of it. But when you take notes and you write it down, you're actually hearing and you're writing what you're hearing. You gain another percentage of it of how much you obtain. Then when you go back and study something, you go back and read what you obtain a little bit more percentage of what. So it's very important that you take notes and get serious about really being passionate about God's word, because one of these days you're going to need a miracle. You may need something from God, and it's very important that what you put in you is going to come out. So if you're not putting God's word in you, You're gonna be going to somebody else going, hey, will you pray for me? I mean, that's good. We need prayer. But I'm telling you right now, if you'll get God's word inside you, you could just stand up in the midst of that storm and say, I believe God. You know, you don't have to get nobody to pray with you. You don't have to get nobody. Now, it's good. We need to agree and all those things. But your faith, God wants you to have He wants you to be developed in your faith where you can stand up and say to that storm. You know, he rebuked the disciples when they did not rebuke that storm, that wind. He said, oh, you have little faith. He wanted them to do it. Jesus was like, man, how long am I going to be with you guys? When are you guys going to get this? You stand up and you rebuke that storm. You do it. So God wants you to stand up and rebuke the storms of your life. And stand up and be strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Matthew 13:54. Remember when Jesus went to his home country, and then the Bible says that he did not do many mighty works there. Why? Unbelief. Unbelief will stop your miracle. Unbelief will stop the miraculous from taking place. Unbelief will stop you from receiving from God. Unbelief. They did not believe because of unbelief. He couldn't do many miracles there. He did some, but he wanted to heal all of them. But they would not believe. They would not receive because of unbelief. So don't let unbelief stop you from your miracle, from stop you receiving from God. Let me give you an example. There was a lady who actually, I've told this story before, but I think it's true and it plays in this right here. There was a pastor who had a member of his church, and she had cancer or something, and she was in the hospital. Well, you know, they prayed. They were believing God. Bible-believing church believed God that lady was healed. And so that man was in prayer or whatever. I don't know exactly where he was, but I know that God spoke to him and told him. He said, he said, I want you to go ask this lady a question. And so he got through what he was doing and went to the hospital, walked in, greeted the lady, Sister so-and-so, whatever her name was. And he said, ma'am, or whatever her name was, he said, God sent me over here to ask you a question. And he said, the question is this, do you want to live or do you want to die? What a powerful question. That shows God's heart. It's a choice. What will you believe? And the lady responded this way. She's like, oh, pastor. She said, I know you guys are believing for me to be healed. She said, but I knew the moment that I was diagnosed with that cancer, I was going to die. She knew it. That's what she believed. So what will you believe? God was pleading, or God was basically came to her and said, do you want to live or do you want to die? Give you a choice. And if she would have said lived, I believe she'd have been healed. But he gave her a choice. And she said, no, I, because what she believed. The circumstance was greater in her thinking, in her belief, than what God wanted to do in her life. A lot of times the circumstances and things of our life are greater and stronger and more powerful than what God wants to do in us. So we just think it's just an impossibility. I'm just going to accept this. No, I'm telling you, God wants to do great things in your life. Get that stinking thinking out. Get that old way of thinking and get in the Word and build yourself up in faith so that you can receive from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians 3:2 said, basically Paul says this. I got to go speed up a little bit. Paul said that not all have faith. But Paul actually asked the church of Thessalonians for them to pray for them, that they would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Unreasonable and wicked men don't have faith. They don't have faith. So Jesus talks, the Bible, we're learning about faith here. Different things of faith, how to receive from God. Without faith, it's possible to please God. All these different things about faith. Not all have faith. James 2:18 through 26. Let me turn there. I'm going to read that. James chapter 2, verse 18 says, but someone will say, remember, not all have faith, right? But then it goes on to say in verse 8, here in 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, and you do well. Even the demons tremble and believe. Hallelujah. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac and his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Do you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only? You see, it's not just about faith only. You have to have works with your faith. You know, it's amazing to know that a lot of people, they say, well, I've got faith. You know, God's going to come through for me. But yet there's no works to identify or to see that they're in faith. You know, I think a lot of how you can see if we're in faith or not is about what we say. But what's coming out of our mouth? When hard things and hard times come, what are you saying? Are you saying, I'm going to go under? Or are you saying, I'm going to overcome? I can do this. God's going to come through for me. What are you saying? And then again, what are you doing? What does your countenance look like? Are you sad? Are you gloomy? Are you crying? Are you bawling your eyes out? Now, you can cry out, seek God, but get back in faith. Get yourself back up and say, square your shoulders and say, I can do this. Amen. God's going to come through. I think faith has a look. Do you know that you can see faith? Yeah. You know, Jesus saw faith. Yeah. Jesus seeing their faith. Wow. Seeing their faith. You can see faith. Faith has a look. It's not enough. I'm going to say this. It's not enough just to say God's going to come through for you. It's just not about a confession. Confession's great. I believe you need to confess. But it's not just about a confession. Oh, yeah, you need to confess. You need to get your words right. You need to make sure your mouth is right. But it's about what you do. It's about what your countenance and about what you're believing. Glory to God. Just being bold about it and say, you know what? God's going to come through for me. Have with a joy and a smile on your face, knowing that God is going to do what he said. Your countenance has a lot to do with it, whether or not you're in faith or not, too. Because if you're believing on the inside, it ought to affect the outside, shouldn't it? Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's look at Luke chapter 18. Well, you don't have to turn there. Like I said, I've got these scriptures, and then we're going to go into some examples. I want to show you some people who believe God, and then I'm going to tell you what I'm going through and what I'm believing. Luke chapter 18, verse 7. This is the story of the persistent widow. The persistent widow, how she kept just coming to him, wanting justice. Right? And then in verse 7, Jesus says, "And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" See, God is looking for faith. When he comes back, he's going to want to know, are you in faith? He's going to see your faith. He's looking for faith. You know, the Bible says that God is looking to show himself strong in. To show himself strong in. I'm telling you, God is looking to see who is going to believe him. Who is it that's going to believe him? Because I want to show myself strong in them. I want everybody to see the glory of God. I want everybody to see this testimony, the thing that I'm fixing to do in this person. Like Mike, when he stood up here. Glory to God. I mean, if I was him, I'd be telling everybody. I mean, everybody I could tell. Because that's a powerful testimony. Do you know that I'm going to tell this miracle that I'm fixing to receive, that I have received, but the manifestation is going to come take place, and I'm going to tell of the wonderful works of God? Do you know how many people, listen, oof. Do you know how many people we've told about? I'm going to go ahead and tell you. The doctors gave us two negative reports. First one, they said, we walked into the doctor because Melissa was having, not in some trouble, but just kind of concerns, I guess. And so we went to the doctor, and they said, there's not a whole lot we can do right now. It's still kind of early, you know, but we can take a blood test. We can do this if you want, you know. So before she walked in, you know, do the urine sample and all that good stuff. And so we're in there, and so she's like, "Well, I'm going to give you a moment to decide what you want to do. You want to take the blood test or not? Just wait till, you know, the 19th, which is tomorrow." And that's when tomorrow. Okay. And so I was like, "Baby, look, you know, you're fine. We're okay. You know, I believe God, you know, and you're not real bad. And the thing, you know, the circumstance," I said, "we're fine. Well, you're fine. Let's just believe God. We'll come back the 19th and everything will be fine." And so she comes in and she goes, "Well, I'll just make this." I mean, she's busting the door. "Well, you know, I'll just make the decision for you. It's negative. You're not pregnant." And she said, "You probably miscarried." And so we're like, and I'm looking at her. I mean, I'm sitting there on this stool, and I'm going, I'm looking at her. When she says that, she busts, and I went. I was like, because Melissa kind of teared up a little bit, and I was like, "No, don't believe it. Don't believe it." And so she's like, "Well, now we got to do a blood test." So we go, but we're fixing to walk out the door, and there's a lady coming down the hallway. She's got this pregnancy test. She's like, "Wait, no, there's two lines. There's two lines right there." And so she is pregnant. I was like, "Yeah, I know she's pregnant." And so, well, hold on, because there is another negative report that's greater than the first one, okay? But I'm telling you, that's God's faithful, and he's gonna be faithful. So we took the blood test, and they come back, and they, you know, a couple days later, and said, "Okay, your hormone level is at 17. It's too low. It needs to be higher. It needs to come higher." And so she took another blood test. You know, we prayed, and we're believing God is gonna go shoot up. Well, next time we took it, and they found out it went down to 6, which is really low. And the doctor said, "Well, you know, you probably miscarried, because that's just too low for any, you know, for the baby to develop the way it should. So it's just, you know, you miscarried. Pretty sure you miscarried." Well, that was a couple of days right after we took the first blood test and the second one. And well, then they called back. "Did you take another one?" "No." They called back. I guess I don't know what they're looking at, but they called back and said, "Well, you did miscarry. You did." I mean, and so, I mean, all the circumstances are pointing to she miscarried. But I'm telling you, my God doesn't do stuff halfway. And we've been believing God for 10 years that we would have a baby. And when we saw that pregnancy test, when she first took it in the bathroom, and it said two lines, I mean, because we're used to seeing one line. And when it said two lines, we were like, I mean, I wasn't in shock, but I was thinking, it's like the manifestation of your faith just took place. Just, wow. I was just in amazement of my God. It was perfect timing. That's why I think I was like, "God, you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing." And she was just bawling and crying, and we were hugging. Then we hear this thing, this report, and it doesn't move me. I shall not be moved by this. I'm believing for a miracle. And when we go, whether it's Monday, I don't know, but I know she's pregnant. And I know it'll be just as God said that it'll be. And God doesn't do things halfway. And God spoke to me a while back and told me that she was going to be pregnant. I mean, it was soon. So I believe God.
Amen.
And so it has to be. I don't know if the baby has to be resurrected or whatever you want to call it. I don't know what's going to take place. I don't have the details. But I know that we're going to see a miracle. And the point that I was going to say is, yeah, give him a hand clap. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then I started talking to God. I said, God, do you know how many people we've told that she's pregnant? Do you know how many people that already know or think are thinking and that she is pregnant? What would that do what would that look like on you? If that baby's was miscarried, if she miscarried, I was like, God, that's not you. That's not you. That doesn't give glory to you. What kind of perception, image, maybe God would receive from that? Because a lot of people think anyway, God takes stuff and takes to kill. What kind of God? I mean, my God does not do that. I want them, and listen, and I said, God, what a testimony to the people we've told to be able to say, oh, yeah, she did miscarry, but I don't know what happened. The baby got resurrected or something, and she's pregnant. What a testimony to be able to tell people of the goodness of God. And my God is looking for something like this, a situation like this, so that he can show himself strong in. And all I have to do, and what Melissa has to do, and if you want to agree with us, I hope you do, we have to be in a position to receive from God. Which means keep your confession straight. Don't get me wrong, the fear and the doubts, the flooding. And every time they do, God did not give me a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. I mean, just quoting the word, just like Jesus told us to do. Right? Casting down every thought and imagination that tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. Just believing God.
Amen.
And I don't see anything else but a miracle. I can't see anything else. It's to the point now where it's just like, I'm ready to see it. I'm ready to see the manifestation of it. I'm telling you, God wants to do that in you. And listen to me, this is the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my entire life. I mean, to really, you know, the war, the battle, to believe and to really to be in a position. And I thank God it's because of all the word that I've been put in me and in me and in me years before that I'm able to fight now. I'm able to stand, having my loins girded with truth and believing God, standing on the word of God. So I want to encourage you to get in the word, believe God. You may not be going up through a battle now, but listen to me, someday you will. So why don't you prepare now? So when the battle comes, you're ready. You'll fight the good fight of faith because you know you're going to win.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's look at some examples and we'll wrap this up. It's 12 o'clock. You hungry? Good. I got some word for you right here. All right. Praise God. Let's just look at a few people who really reached out and grabbed their miracle, grabbed what they needed. Let's see. I'll just do two of them. I've got more, but I'm just going to do two. Matthew chapter 9. Turn there. Matthew chapter 9. Hallelujah. I love my God. Thank you, Father. Matthew 9, verse 18. Wow. He says, verse 18 says, while he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died. Well, I heard that before. But come and lay your hand on her and she will live. Come and lay your hand on her and maybe. No, come and lay your hand on her and she will. He was persistent. Persistent. That if you do this thing, we're going to see a miracle. I love it. Can you imagine if one of your loved ones died? My loved one died. Or, you know, they're saying this is dead. But can you imagine if one of your loved ones, somebody you love very much, died? And then you actually had enough faith to say, I reject this. I do not accept this. You know what? That's actually happened. You know, Reinhard Bunke. I love the story because it shows what you and I can do, because we've been given the measure of faith. And if we get in the Word and believe Him and get that Word of God so rooted in us, we can do the same thing. God's not a respecter of persons. There's nobody in here that's greater than anybody else. We're all the same in God. And so Reinhard Bunke, he was a missionary or evangelist or something, ministering in Africa or some country over there. I don't know the details. I just know the main part. Okay, I'm not a good storyteller, but I got the main gist of stuff. And so there was a lady, a pastor, that actually was driving down the mountainside or something. He actually wrecked or something. He died. Well, the woman, the wife, heard that. And first couple of days, she took it hard. She bawled her eyes out, and she was just so much fear was crowding in. But she's a woman of God, a woman of the Word. She went to the Word, found, I think it was in Hebrews, it's in Hebrews, but she said that that you should have the dead shall be raised, or your dead shall be raised. Anyway, she was standing on the Word, and other scriptures too. She was standing on the Word of God. She would not be denied. 3 days had passed by. That man had already been embalmed. Embalmed. And so that lady said, she was just persistent. She said, no, they wanted to do that. He was in the morgue, actually, for, you know, two days or something like that. And so she went and grabbed, she got some men to grab his casket, take it to where Reinhard Bunke was, because she wanted to get the man of God to, like, she was believing for a miracle. And so they were at this meeting place, and I don't know if how big the thing was, but I know the thing must have been packed or something, because they could not get in to the back door or front door or whatever to the place, to the meeting. And they wouldn't let her in too, because they thought, that's kind of weird, bringing a casket through the, you know, they just didn't want to allow that. So she's like, okay, well, I'll go to the back. So they went to the back. And it was, I don't know if there was some men back there. I don't know the details of all that. But I've seen the video of it. I can tell you that, of the man coming back to life. And so she went to the back. And I guess she was waiting for Reinhard Bunke to get through. Or they sent a messenger or somebody to tell him or something. But he never came. I guess it was during the worship or something. I think that's what it was. But he didn't come back. So these men, it shows on the video, these men actually just praying for this guy. I guess that lady said, look, I'm believing for a miracle, and I'm going to get my miracle, and I'm not leaving here until I do. And then those men were back there, laid hands on him and started praying in tongues. Just, Ida masandra bakai. I mean, I guess it was an awesome thing took place there. And they started laying hands on him and started talking in tongues, speaking in tongues. And then all of a sudden, of course, that's when the video picks up. You see that his arms, he starts moving his fingers. You see that he's laying there, and you start seeing his stomach start. They actually felt when they were, like, people had his hand, holding his hand and praying in tongues, and his hand was, they said it was getting warm, and it was just going through his arm. They put his hand on his shoulders, and it was getting warm. And they just started touching, like, you know, every parts of his body, just, and he started getting warm, and his stomach started pumping and breathing. And I mean, that is a miracle of God. But why was it a miracle of God? Because God just loved that man more than anybody else? Absolutely not. Because that woman would not be denied. She would not be denied. And God loves that. He loves when you step out in faith. What appears to be nothing, which appears to be foolish, which appears to be ignorant. You know, what are you doing? God likes that. That's when God will show himself strong. And hallelujah. And I just want to encourage you, man, whatever you're facing, don't quit. Don't give up. You can do it. You can see him. You will see a miracle. You will see God come through for you. And he will fulfill what he said he would do if you'll get in his word. One more and we'll close. 12:5. Okay. Hallelujah. Let's see. Let me see. I think Luke chapter 7. We'll go there. And we'll wrap it up. Hallelujah. Do you get anything out of this?
Amen.
I hope so. Praise God. Luke 7. But we're going to go to verse 11. Is that what I said? No. Okay. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. Now this is very interesting, because it doesn't appear that anybody had faith. I mean, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that, you know, they sought him or nothing. Jesus just had compassion. You know, I remember, before we go to the story, here at Walmart just a couple weeks ago, there was a lady that was, I was by the egg walking around the corner, and this lady was having, there was two ladies holding her up or something. It was just a young girl, a teenager, and she was just kind of, you know, staggering and stuff, and I didn't know what was going on. They were like, get a dog, or, you know, I went and got management, because that's what we're supposed to do, go get management to tell them. Let them come and let them decide what they need to do. And so I went and did that. Well, she ended up having a, when I got back, she was started seizure. She was just going off into this seizure, and her eyes rolled back. And I had so much compassion for this lady, this teenager, this young girl. When she was there, she was just, and it was getting worse. And that's when they said, you know, call the ambulance. Because she hadn't had one in a long time. And so I was like, okay, because they had her, like, she was laid down, and they had her, like, you know, holding her head up and everything and just comforting her. And so I was like over here, and I was just like, you lying devil. And so I just like, well, I'm not going to just sit there and get back. I got it. No. So I was like, okay. So I was like, yeah, he's a man of God. I don't know who he is. I can't remember his name. But he went to a girl's house, and he actually come from a long distance. Well, and they said, hurry, she's dying. And so he came, and actually, when he got there, she was dead. He got on the bed and said, I didn't come all this way for you to die in Jesus' name. And she came back, but it was pretty interesting. And so I wasn't going to do that. But what I did is I squat down. And I put my hand on her foot, and I said, in Jesus' name, let her go. I mean, just under my breath. And the moment I said that, her eyes, she came to, she stopped convulsing, she stopped shaking. She came back, and she came, you know, open her eyes, and she stopped shaking. And I just had tears in my eyes. I was like, glory to God. Glory to God. But I had compassion for her. I didn't know if she had faith to believe. I just know that I had compassion for this young girl. And the moment I did it, she stopped. And she was fine. She got her up. They'd already called the ambulance, already called, you know, on her way. And I was thinking, no more seizures. No more for that girl. And I pray someday she'll realize God did that for her. I mean, she was kind of out of it, so I wouldn't go say, hey, do you know Jesus just healed you? I mean, it was just one of those things where, like, I just got to sit back and just adore and just sit back and watch what God did. So let's finish the story. We'll close. And then it says in verse, it did flip, didn't it? I was like, I don't know what that says. In verse 13, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin. This is a very funny story, I think. It can be. And said, who carried him? And those who carried him stood still. And he said, listen to this, picture this, okay? They're carrying this coffin, right? They've got this coffin. You know, they're sad. They're walking. You know, Jesus, this man, they probably don't know who he is. I don't know. They may know who he is. He walks up. He has compassion. He looks. I don't know how high it might have been. I don't think they were carrying him like this. Probably somewhat like this. And, you know, it's low. You can see the man. It's open coffin. You can see him. And Jesus stops and says, don't weep. It's okay. You know, as he said to Lazarus, he's just sleeping. And so he probably lays his hands on her. Well, actually, he didn't. It says he told her to, told him to arise. Can you imagine those guys just like, yeah, whatever. All of a sudden, this man, it says he sits up and says something. Hey, guys! Whoa! Drops him. That'd be funny. That was probably what happened. Those guys just, they did not expect that. That's a funny situation if you really think about it. Just sitting there and just, whatever. Whoa! Wow, that's how I picture it. Anyway, then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he was dead. He who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. Then fear came on all, and they glorified God. A reverence fear, not a God, devilish, demonic fear, but a reverence for God. Then fear came upon him all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen among us. Up among us, and God has visited his people. And this report about him went throughout all of Judea and all the surrounding region. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. There's times that God, we just need to believe God. And there's times that we ourselves, when we see somebody that's hurting, that's we just have compassion. Yeah. The compassion of God. Because see, compassion is not just, oh, I really feel for them. That's not true compassion. You know what compassion really, what true compassion will really do? It'll cause you to step out. That's what Jesus did. You know, man, I got to stop. But true compassion will cause you to do something. You don't say, well, don't ever say, I've got compassion for that person. You don't do anything about it. No, you have sympathy for that person. Or you feel for that person or whatever, how you want to say it. But don't ever say, listen, let's just according to the Bible. Don't ever say you got compassion. Because if you got compassion, the compassion that comes from God will cause you to step out and do something about it. Do something about it. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word will not return void. It will accomplish what it was sent out to do. We thank you, Father God, that we'll protect this word, Father God, that we will, Father, if we need a miracle, that Father, you are the miracle. You're still in the miracle business. We thank you and give you all the praise and the honor. I thank you for these people. I thank you that they're being changed. I thank you that then they walk out, Father God, that they'll be that word will just burn in them. God, burn in them, God, that they can believe anything, that all things are possible to him who believes. God, that you will do it, that you're faithful to your word. And if we'll hold fast to our confession, God, you're faithful to see it come to pass. And so I bless you and I worship you and I give you all the honor and all the glory. Amen.